In a couple of One minute till we start. 1 minute and counting. Okay, so could we have the recording on, please? Right, good morning, everybody. This is the ALAC conference, well, I was going to say conference call, the ALAC first session on our Sunday today. Welcome to everyone for having made it to Costa Rica. Welcome to this, well, what looks like a big box that we're in. You should get acclimatized to it because we're going to spend a serious amount of time in here. I hope you've all had a good and safe trip to here and are ready to work a full week of exciting challenges that are coming our way. I'm going to start asking for a quick roll call. And in fact, the way we'll do it is to go around the table. I just wonder, who should we start with, Yaovi or Cheryl? Let's start with Yaovi, and then we'll go clockwise since time is ticking. So, Yaovi, please go ahead, introduce yourself, and we'll go in this direction. Thank you.
Bonjour à tous. Mon nom, c'est Yaovi.
Name? Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Natalia Ancisa from Lagralo. Wolf Ludwig Juralo.
Sandra Hofrichter Juralo.
Yrjö Länsipuro Juralo.
Garth Bruin at large.
Sergio Salinas Porto.
Sergio Salinas Porto Lac Rallo.
Shiani ICANN staff.
Hello, Silvia Vivanco, ICANN staff.
Good morning, Gisela Gruber, ICANN staff.
Good morning, Heidi Ulrich, ICANN staff.
Hello, Jean-Jacques Subrenard, member of ALAC.
Evan Leibovich from Toronto, vice chair ALAC from Norello.
Olivier Crépin-Blon, ALAC chair.
Carlton Samuels, ALAC vice chair.
Tijani Benjema, ALAC and AFRALU.
Fatima Tassé Sila, AFRALU chair.
Titi, AFRALU and ALAC member.
Aziz Hileli, secrétaire AFRALU.
Rinalia Abdurrahim, ALAC.
Alan Greenberg, ALAC liaison to the GNSO.
ALAC from AFRALU.
Edmund Chung, ISOC Hong Kong, AP Rallo.
Ganesh Kumar, ALAC from North America.
Bo Brendler, North America.
Stephen Antilak Singh Lak Rallo, Secretariat.
Sherilyn Denor, AP Rallo, and ALAC liaison to the CCNSO.
Thank you very much, everyone. And for the record, Darlene Thompson was here as well, but she had to get her computer. Oh, is she back? Oh, no, there's also somebody else who's arrived on the table. Holly and Shiva.
Yeah, Siva Subramanian Muthuswamy from ISOC India, Chennai, ALS, and AP Rallo.
Holly Roche, first chair, AP Rallo.
Okay, thank you. So, Darlene Thompson has gone to get her computer. She's only just managed to make it here, so hopefully she'll be back soon. Right, the rules, there are very few rules here, as you might know, but there are a few that we need to follow very closely. The first one is to speak close to our microphone. You might have noticed that they don't seem to be too loud at the moment. And for those people who are joining us remotely, and I will ask if we... I will ask Matt if you can note if there's anybody that is actually following remotely. Speak into your microphones, and also when you speak, say your name before you speak, both for the remote participants, but also for the transcript and also for the interpreters, since otherwise it sounds as though we're all schizophrenics. So thanks for all being here. Unfortunately, I have a prior engagement, so I have to run out at this very minute. But for the first part of this session, I will hand the floor over to my Vice Chair Carlton Samuels, who will be able to take you through the morning's activities. So, Carlton, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair. Welcome, everybody. We are going to have a timekeeper. I gather Sandra is going to be our timekeeper for this morning's session. So, we're going to try to keep to the agenda. The agenda in detail for Sunday, is on the board. You can get it from the wiki. We are going to start talking about the at-large working group's next steps. And the first one, we're going to have the Future Challenges Working Group, led by Evan Leibovich and Jean-Jacques Subrenard. And then we'll say a little bit about who is working group, and then the IDN working group with Edmund Chung is here. And then we will go to the rules and procedures on ALAC metrics working groups, which is being steered by the queen of process herself, Sherry Langdon Orr, and the registrants' rights and responsibilities working group, Bo Brendler, and technology task force led by Devon and Tilak Singh. So we'll work our way through them. And the first one on up here is the Future Challenges Working Group. The floor is now open to Evan Leibovich and Jean-Jacques Soubrenon to take us through the details of that. Gentlemen.
Thank you, Chair. This is Jean-Jacques Soubrenon speaking. I'm one of the two co-chairs with Evan Leibovich of the Future Challenges Working Group. Now, just a few words to remind you why and how this was set up. This came out of a suggestion which had been made at the Los Angeles ICANN meeting, because some of us had felt, and I had formulated this as a realization as a new member of the ALAC, that there was a lot of very important work which was done in ALAC, but it was of a reactive nature. Very often it was in reaction to things which were being ascertained or worked on in other parts of ICANN. And it was therefore felt that at a certain point it would be useful for ALAC to propose an overview not only of what the way it works, but also of the challenges. And that's behind the idea of setting up this Future Challenges Working Group. Now, we started off with a fairly open agenda, and we had called for suggestions on topics which would be of interest to the members of this working group and more widely to the members of the at large. But then we narrowed it down, and Evan came up with a suggestion of actually drafting a white paper, and we are the two main drafters so far, with contributions, very important contributions from some of you, whom we wish to thank now. But this draft white paper is, in fact, the embodiment of the idea which we had originally of looking at the wider challenges, not only, by the way, for ICANN, but for the Internet in the coming years. And in addressing these challenges, we hope to find solutions which can be proposed for very important topics, such as, for instance, how can we improve the multi-stakeholder model, and what can be done in order to make the various stakeholders more equal in their contribution, but also in the effectiveness of their role within ICANN. So having said that, I pass the microphone to Evan for a presentation of that white paper.
Hi there. This is Evan. I just wanted to touch a little bit on the substance of this, because I know we don't really have a lot of time. Essentially, what we've been trying to do is to identify at a very high level what ICANN needs to go forward, what it needs to really embrace the multi-stakeholder model, and what it needs to do in order to meet its affirmation of commitments that it has made to the world and that we want to use as a foundation for how ICANN has to move forward. We realize that there's a number of threats. There's a meeting of the ITU later this year. There's a number of external pressures that are coming to bear from people that do not believe that ICANN is representing the public interest the way it needs to be. And so this document tries, as Jean-Jacques said, to take a very proactive view, a very high-level view of what needs to change. The document is in the Adobe Connect room as we speak. It is also on the Confluence Wiki. It has not been a very public document until now, because essentially the working group internally has wanted to be able to make sure that we had the ideas fully fleshed out and that we had our ideas in order before actually bringing this forward. So our intention is to bring this to ALAC for consideration, to invite community participation, to invite some input, and then in Prague to have a workshop where this is presented to the greater community. We have broken down what we consider to be, the title of the paper is Making ICANN Relevant, Responsive, and Respected. This is, I believe, a very ambitious work. It makes some recommendations that in some ways are evolutionary, in some ways some we'd consider to be almost radical in the sense of things that ICANN needs to do. Essentially, we've broken it down into four areas: the global public interest, the multi-stakeholder model versus the intergovernmental approach, issues of global governance, and institutional and political cooperation, practical cooperation, not only inside ICANN, but outside ICANN with the global community. What you see in front of you in this document is a refinement of a great many ideas. There's another document alongside this called Supporting Documents that, in fact, is going to be far lengthier. But we've been going under the presumption that a white paper should not be more than 4 pages long, or most of its intended audience will not read it. So there is a meeting of the committee tomorrow at, I believe it's 10:30? Oh, 10 o'clock. Unfortunately, it cuts into the last half hour of the opening ceremonies, but because of the time, the compacted meeting schedule, we really didn't have much choice. So if you would like to, it's in this room tomorrow at 10. So if you have not been part of the Future Challenges group and are interested in participating, please come. Right now we're at the point where we have a very ambitious document. It needs a lot of behind-the-scenes work. It needs a lot of advocacy, and we need a lot of bridge-building to other communities to get support to get support for it. I can, if it can be put into the, if the link can be put into the chat, that would be great. Okay. All right. One of the discussions we've been having, in fact, is how widely this is to be distributed and publicized. And for lack of a better description, we're using a philosophy borrowed from some government called don't ask, don't tell. In a sense that it is not a closed document, it is not a private document, but we are not going out of our way to advocate or publicize it outside at large until it's had sufficient internal community vetting. So while it's not our intention to have this as a closed document, we're not ready to announce to the world, here it is. Okay, so Heidi said that the hyperlinks exist. Like I say, we're not publicly broadcasting this outside at large. It still needs a lot of work within the community, but it's not a closed document. Thank you.
Thank you, Evan. We have a few minutes for members who might want to ask some questions or make some comments. The floor is open.
Is this working group open for participation, and after a while, is it planned that membership will be open to other constituencies?
As of right now, we're keeping participation to within at large. We're inviting anybody who's at this table to join us at the meeting tomorrow. As we proceed, we will be engaging more communities and inviting more parts of the community to get involved. This will not survive very long simply as just an at-large document. We're going to need to build bridges. We're going to need to go build in a much bigger community, arguably not even just inside ICANN, but also outside ICANN. And so eventually it's going to have very broad community participation. But for right now, for this week, we're trying to keep the participation within at-large to make sure that we have our own message in order.
I'd like to add the reason for this. There's a choice between opening the whole exercise as widely as possible, and obviously that would be good for transparency and accountability. But at the same time, we're very concerned about the effectiveness of our approach, and that is why we think it is only fair and certainly more efficient to start off with a limited exercise, limited in number of participants, in order to have the right content. And once that is drafted, then we put it out for discussion. What we're aiming at, roughly, is to have a final draft, as it were, to be presented to the wide community by the June meeting of ICANN, ICANN 44 in Prague.
That's an excellent approach. I don't have any disagreement with that. And I would like to take part in this group.
Okay. Again, the best thing we can ask for is there will be a meeting tomorrow at 10 a.m. in this room to go through it, both on substance and on how we go forward. I just wanted to make one note that the document you see in the Adobe room right now has been password restricted to members of the working group, but that will very shortly be lifted, so it will be a publicly accessible document. We're now at the point where we want, until now, you've needed a login and password and authorization to get into the page to use it. Those restrictions are being removed shortly.
Hi, this is Matt Ashjani from staff. As a reminder, please remember to say your name before you speak.
Thank you, Matt. I was about to remind people of that. The person who asked the question was Sivas from ISOC Chennai. So, Sivas, next time, remember that. Sergio Salina Porto.
Good morning to you all. My name is Sergio Salinas Porto for the record. Just a question because I didn't understand something that you said. When you say that there's going to be or that we are going to have access, what do you mean? ALAC members or all of us?
Sorry, this is Evan. Until today, this document has been limited to access by members of the working group. Effective immediately, we've asked to lift the restrictions so that anybody who goes to this URL will be able to see the page. It will not be a restricted document.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Are members comfortable with the broad themes that is being addressed by the Future Challenges Working Group? Is there a question or a proposal? A clarification? Sala?
Salanieta Tamani Kawemaro for the record. Salanieta Tamani Kawemaro for the record, and I'd like to congratulate the excellent work done by Evan and Jean-Jacques and the team in initiating this. And it's a critical thing from a global public interest point of view in terms of preparing and assembling strategies and that sort of thing. And it's good that you've done the legwork. And I congratulate you.
Sorry, this is Evan, and I thank you, and I would only ask at this point that the work has just started and it needs to be spread around. The document itself that you see on the screen is only 4 pages long. There's a substantial amount of documentation that needs to go behind that, definitions, rationales, logic, etc. And we are going to need help going forward in making that all concise and understandable and an appropriate backup to justify what we are doing. So we can definitely use some more help, and if you are interested in helping, please come tomorrow.
Thank you, Evan. Any other? I see Cheryl's hand. Sintra?
Thank you, Carlton. This is Sintra Suknanan. With the non-renewal of the IANA contract, would that also be forming part of this document?
No. The purpose of this white paper is not to address any specific issue, however important it is at the moment or for the next year, for instance. It's the wider approach of structural changes if they are necessary. But, of course, we have to take into account whatever may come out of the discussions. But at this stage, we have not purported to have a chapter, let's say, on the IANA contract.
Thank you, Jean-Jacques. Hey, Yovie?
Yeah, we please. I have on the link, when I go to the page, I can see future structure, accountability, and transparency of ICANN. I want to be sure that it's the same, because if we, the group is future challenge.
Sorry, that's not, sorry, this is Evan. Yovi, that's not the same document. This one says at the top future challenges, and it will be very specific. What you're looking at is something different.
Thank you. Time has gone now. I think we have to move to the next chapter. And saying this, I move directly into the who is issue. You would have seen there, as most of you would know, we have a standing working group, at large working group for WHO IS. Those of you who are not familiar with all of the issues, it's a very complex thing. It's been around for a little while. there are issues of data, issues of process, issues of access. There are matters pertaining to privacy and so on. They're all swirling around this WHO IS issue. There's been a lot of work done by many groups about WHO IS. We had a briefing last week by the ICANN staff, Liz Gassner and company, including our own Seth Rice, who provided a lot of background information on WHO IS. It is a very complex subject. There has been a review team that has been working on WHO IS review, and that is an outcome of the affirmation of commitments that was signed by ICANN that committed ICANN to having these review teams periodically. They did some excellent work in gathering information from the community, a lot of outreach efforts, and out of that they did some really good work in putting forward a report. The report in full is available on the wiki. Our task was, before the WHO's team went to work, they had meetings with the at-large and the ALAC leadership, and we had an aspirational statement as to our expectations from that work. The WHO's report has substantially delivered on the expectation. There has been, the report is now up for comment, public comment, and out of that we authored a draft ELAC statement on the report. The report is available, it's on the screen as you see it. Just look at it, the substance of it. If you look at the WHO's review team report, it pretty much endorsed almost all of the at-large positions that we've taken historically and to date. It recommended a major overall or a perspective, a change of perspective for WHO IS, which was the biggest one. It recognized that there was no really coherent WHO IS policy and recommended that we should move, the community should move to have an ICANN policy promulgated on WHO IS. It went into detail about several factors and take into account the views of the community. It especially looked at some of the problems of data accuracy, verification of WHO IS data. It treated with the access requirements for WHO IS data. It looked at some of the law enforcement association issues with WHO IS and endorsed them. Then it proposed a roadmap for addressing these WHO IS issues. We endorse all of them. The extension of our statement speaks to two major issues with WHOIS: the issue of privacy proxy services, and whether or not the reach of regulation should affect and impact WHOIS availability to end users. The position that we've seen so far is that there is, while privacy and proxy services exist, there has been no official recognition for them. And it has been, our posture is that they exist, and instead of taking the course that they should be outlawed, we took the position that they should be formalized and regularized. And we took a further position that if you have proxy and privacy providers, then we would hope so as to keep the integrity of the intent of WHOIS for end users, that privacy and proxy registrations would devolve the requirements for verification and for responsibility to the WHOIS provider. Because if you have a system where the privacy and proxy registration was allowed to thwart or defeat the actual access of end users to WHOIS data, it would undermine totally the principle, the basic principle upon which the at-large has spoken to date. That statement, the public comment is open until March 18. And as we are now, it would be very instructive if our members could look at the statement critically and add comments or reflections that might in fact end up in the final ALAC statement. So I urge all of you to look critically at this statement, the draft, in context of what the review team reported, reflect on previous ALAC statements and ALAC positions on the several issues dealing with access and privacy proxy and dealing with the data, WHOIS data itself, and add your comments, your reflections, so that they can be taken properly into account before the statement is presented to the ALAC for final resolution. So we have time for one question. Alan?
Not a question, but a statement. The review team took pains to note that although we have often used the terms interchangeably, privacy and proxy are two very different things, one of which we have some control over if we choose to, the other which we're completely impotent to do anything about. Anyone can go to their lawyer and have the lawyer do something on their behalf and take full responsibility for it, which is what a proxy is. So we should be careful when we're talking about them to not use the term interchangeably. They are quite different, and the impact that ICANN can have on the two are different. So
you're quite right, sir. That's a GNSO liaison who sits through many of these boring meetings, so he knows what he's talking about. Holly, we'll just take you, Holly. Thanks.
Thanks, Carlton. I think the listening to the discussion that was in Senegal, what they wanted to do specifically was to say we want privacy servers specifically accredited to be such, and then to have rules surrounding that, and not to talk about proxy at all, simply to say, look, this is an agent of, and therefore, if it's an agent, what we will do is treat them as simply an agent of, and then assume all of the responsibilities for on the registrar, and not go any further than that, recognising that, in fact, there's a whole heap of responsibilities that will fall on the agent, which is the way they dealt with that issue.
Thank you, Ollie. We are running behind time here, so we're trying to catch up. May I ask the IDN Working Group Chair, Edmund Chung, to take over here?
This is Edmund Chung. Thank you, Carlton. I'll be brief. So we started restarting the IDN Working Group in Singapore. I think we decided to move forward and have a standing IDN Working Group. And then I guess as IDN liaison, I have been helping get it started. We had a first face-to-face meeting in Dakar, and I think briefly summarize, I think the approach that we talked about is to become more proactive to talk about IDN issues from at large and not just being reactive to public comments. And to look at providing actual advice and not just comments, to explore opportunity to influence decisions down the road. I think those are some of the things that we took away from the Dakar meeting. Since then, we had two further teleconferences, and well, in a way, regrettably, we have been reactive in most of the work that we have been doing so far. But we did, you know, we did continue to produce. We did produce a couple of responses: one on the IDN variant issues project final report, and one on the universal acceptance of IDN TLDs. In a recent teleconference, the last one, we started preparing for our face-to-face meeting here in Costa Rica, although still parts of it being a reactive mode to respond to the IDN variant issues project plan. Because it seems to be of significant interest, both in terms of the IDN issues as well as in the budget issue, because I think in our FY13 response, we have also included a section specifically on this, and we'd like to expand on it. It seems like the budget for the VIP going forward is quite large, and we have some concerns on it. So in terms of the upcoming meeting, and I guess beyond the working group members already volunteered, you're very much welcome to join us. We'll be having a meeting here in Costa Rica on Monday, March 12th, from 5 to 6 p.m. at the Heliconia Room. We've identified three areas that we want to talk about: a response on the VIP project plan, as I mentioned, and the other two will try to be a little bit more proactive, starting to be, and we'll talk about how we want to reach out and work with other parts of the ICANN community on this and other IDN issues. Speaking about the upcoming meeting on Monday, I understand that it conflicts with some other meetings. I've been well, basically, it's very difficult to find time slots in, at ICANN meetings, I understand, and meeting rooms are quite tight. So I would suggest that we continue with the allotted time slot at start at 5 p.m. at the Heliconia room on Monday. But I intend to run it a little bit long, if the room is open, so that I think Cheryl and some others have indicated that they might have conflict and might only be able to come after the hour. So the suggestion is to continue the meeting and start it at 5, but I'll run into perhaps 6:30 or a little bit more if the room is available. And so for those who couldn't make it at 5, please join us at 6. And so I guess just adding to that, I guess seeing from the great work from the Futures Challenges Working Group, I think we'd like to from the IDM Working Group we'd like to produce the type of document or type of our thoughts like that focused on IDN challenges ahead, so we could really start to become proactive and really try to set the agenda and introduce more influence from on IDNs, which I think is definitely a an issue that ALAC cares a lot about. So that's the update.
Thank you, Edmund. Comment? One? Okay. Along, we now call on Cheryl Langdon-Orr for the Rules of Procedure and ALAC Metrics Working Groups, as well as the At-Large Improvement Task Force. The Queen of Procedure.
Thank you, Carlton. Cheryl Langdon-Orr for the transcript record. I will be starting with the ALAC Improvements Implementation Task Force because that is the umbrella part of a great deal of work that's been done by a cross-regional and ALAC work group, the AIITF, because we like to do letters, has met some 12 or 13 times in weekly meetings since the end of last year and has gone through all 13 recommendations from the ALAC Improvements Review. All of the recommendations have now been established as to exactly where they are in milestoning and date. And perhaps, Matt, if you wouldn't mind chairing up... It's coming, he's telling me. Okay. and allocations to other parts of ICANN if it's, for example, senior staff needs to be involved in the implementation, parts of ourselves, be it work group, ALAC as a whole, or sub-components such as the Executive Committee of ALAC, responsibilities have been allocated to ensure that all of the implementables from those 13 recommendations in a number of subtasks have been allocated totally. Now, in the fullness of time, what you'll be seeing on your screens is a familiar to some of you table that shows the status of each of the 13 recommendations. In the absence of the visuals, I'll just talk you through it. The first recommendation, which is the ICANN bylaw changes, which were required for a number of reasons, some of which are to clarify the purpose and mission of ALAC, but some of which were associated with board member selection by the at-large community, is 100% completed. We know that the at-large selected board member for seat number 15 of the ICANN board is completed, but there is an ongoing action item because it is, in fact, at the end of this year where we have to start convening our subcommittees to begin the process for the next round of selection. So we actually don't have that long before we go through the cycle again. The RALO ALAC structure, which was a review and a whole set of flowcharts and purposes, is 100% completed. The number four, education and engagement of the ALSs and regions, is sitting at 75%, and that work, we trust, will be completed between now and Prague, but will be the responsibility of some secretariat's work, some within regional work, and most definitely things like the rules of procedure work group, which is also going to be looking at the metrics. So there's a couple of ties that need to be threaded together and hopefully woven into a cloth at the end of that. Number five, and am I going to grow old and be at my next meeting before this comes up, Matt? Or I'm happy to, I can filibust, but I do actually have a 10 o'clock somewhere else. Number four, which is the education and engagement, is another recommendation that is sitting at the 75% mark. We've gone through and allocated with the whole lot of what we think we need to do next. Things like the ICANN Academy come into that, but there is also more to do. And what we would be envisaging is that we'll have a great deal more clarity outside of resolutions and discussions at this meeting as to where those types of education and engagement programs will go. We would note, however, that we have a very good and exciting set of opportunities coming out from ICANN itself with the various guides. Many of the guides are very much fodder for our ALS use and regional use, but what we don't seem to have is the nexus between what is being resource available and being found by the regions. So one of the things Sylvia, working with the regions, will be doing is trying to get that extra 25% of getting the information not only out to the edges, but finding from the edges what else they need to do. Strategic and operational planning is also sitting at 75%. There's a number of changes that we need to make sure are tidied up. I would encourage each of you to have a look, because it's clear that you're not going to be seeing it on the screen today, at a URL which is the 3 or 4 page report plus an appendix that's been prepared by the Improvement Implementation Task Force for presentation during this ICANN meeting number 43 to the Structural Improvements Committee. It's a good synthesis. It has all the hyperlinks. It gives you the background, and most importantly, it will give you the linkage off to the wiki pages, because there is a dedicated page to continually track each one of these recommendations. So that's going to be an ongoing piece of work for. Look, there it is. Pretty coloured pictures. That's what we wanted to see. Okay, so now as you can see, we've got our cost models and our communication tools sitting at 100%. That is not to say that work does not continue. What it says is the implementables are completed to 100%. The public comment period sitting at the 50%, because as you know, we have the reply, the comment reply new system coming in. When the ALAC improvements were set out, that particular model was not part of the ICANN infrastructure. And there is a couple of mismatches between what our recommendations were saying in the absence of this better model and what we have now. So there's a little bit of tidying up to do. And I know that Olivier is also pursuing a couple of issues with the Communications and Public Participation Committee on that. We would expect that to be a final 100% by the Prague meeting. Translation processes are sitting at 100%, but that does not mean that the work and the ongoing watching brief on that does not need to be held by the ALAC. the 10 and 11 really link up to number 1 to some extent. There was specific bylaw recommendations which have in fact been completed, which made sure that we are established in the DNA of ICANN as the home of individual users, and we also have the board statement affirming the role and mission of ICANN. We have input from consumer reps and policy advice mechanisms also sitting at the 75% because there is some work still to be done. If I could ask now for you to bear with me just for a moment. We are only 18 months away from our next review starting. It's absolutely essential that what we have for the next review, which is an external review, is a highly trackable, highly auditable system of what we did in response to the first set of recommendations. We have chosen to put this together as a group of wiki pages. But what we need, what the work group needs from each and every one of you in your ALS and regional roles, is feedback now on, does this make sense? Is it clear to you what we are saying, where the responsibilities are allocated, and is there a place and space for your information to be properly conduited back into any changes that may be coming between now and our next review period? One of the very important things that is coming out of this Implementation Improvements Task Force, as we said, there was a set of allocations to work groups and subcommittees, is the long-awaited-for rules of procedure review. At the ALAC meeting in February, it was resolved that the work of the metrics, ALAC and at-large metrics work group, would become part of the rules of procedure review. So whilst in Senegal we were talking about two separately chartered and convened work groups, there was a lot of overlap between those two activities. We've now got them as component parts. Matt will be, I think, magically making an announcement go out later today on the ALAC announce to call for membership of the Rules of Procedure Workgroup. It is essential that regional leadership have someone, preferably more than someone, some two or some three, people in that work group. It is possibly one of the most important pieces of process work we will be doing, because it'll also be moving towards harmonisation between the regions. When we then look to the metrics, it's going to be looking at metrics of ALSs. So it's equally essential that we have individual ALS representatives join this work group. There is no large maximum number. There is no cut-off point. We are not saying there has to be two from each region. There's no maximum. Happy to have 60 on the mailing list. 160 is fine, because only 13 will do the work anyway. We know that. But what we must have is a minimum. It's essential for the RALO leadership to be absolutely involved in this review, because this is setting up all of how we're going to be working for the next 3 to 5 years. It's incredibly important. Look to the skill sets and talents you have, and please encourage people to respond. There will be a mailing list. It will be wiki-based work. It will be meeting weekly. It's a huge request. This is not a little piece of work. This is a big piece of work. That request for people to put their hands up will be going out today, but the regional leadership and the ALS reps actually need to have their job description include get people on that. At the ALAC meeting, we had a couple of people indicate that they would like to be members. I've asked Matt if he can go through the transcript from the last ALAC meeting to ensure we capture, I know Sergio, I know Natalie, but there were people who said me, me, me. They will be added onto the list. They do not have to say me again. But the regional leadership needs to put, I would suggest, at least two and maybe more people on this work group, because some of you will be going to do the metrics in a little enclave and then coming back to the main group. So we need a large talent pool to meet this to work effectively. I'd like to open for any questions now, but basically it's a sales pitch, and you know, all's well, but we have some extremely important work to do, and we have to do it pretty much before the Prague meeting. It's going to be a very intense couple of months. Opening the floor, back to you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Cheryl, for that exposition. We see Sergio on the floor. Sergio.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. For the records, my name is Sergio Salinas Porto. Cherio, I would like to say that you have been doing a great job during the work in the working group, task for working group. I think it would be important because we had a situation in our RELO and the participation in the working group. And this is the simultaneous interpretation. We used to have interpretation, and then we have a problem with the timetables. And in the region we are working with, all the members work in their everyday activities, so participation sometimes is quite complicated. So please, I asked you to take into account, on one hand, the fact of having simultaneous interpretation available when we are two or three Spanish or French speaking members. And secondly, I would like to see if we can have a schedule for all the participating regions. Thank you very much.
Gracias, Sergio. One of the important differences between what was the regional task force for reviewing and seeing that the implementation tracking is done and the rules of procedure and metrics work group is that the first one, the one that whilst it hasn't been closed up, it still has work to do, it is all about being representational on a strategic management perspective. It won't be meeting weekly from now on, but it will be convening once or twice as it prepares for its final reports. It's a very different style of work group than what we have in the metrics and rules of procedure. For the metrics and rules of procedure, we need to remember that, of course, it's not just one region that actually has people who try and earn their keep. It's every single region, so we have a 24-hour clock that we need to deal with. There are some regions, for example, where it is actually preferable, because of the telecommunications provision, for it to be in working hours. There are other regions where it is impossible for them to take other than work-related calls during working hours. So we're always going to have those tensions. But that said, the plan would be to rotate the times of the meetings under the principle of everyone will be equally inconvenienced, right? So that is how this one will run, because this one needs a much larger talent pool, right? In terms of simultaneous interpretation, that is purely a numbers game. If it's two or three, Heidi, can you confirm? Is it three? As long as three people say, I'm just following the rules that ALAC has set. As long as three people say they need a particular language, in our case, either French or Spanish, then it will happen. That will be on a meeting-by-meeting base. Gisela would call, Natalie and Gisela would put out the reminder, if you have interpretation needs, you need to say, I will be at that meeting. Otherwise, the particular language you need may not be provided. But it's purely a numbers game. So we're talking rotation and numbers.
Okay. Thank you, Cheryl, for that clarification. We have forbearance for one more question. Sala, you have the floor.
Salinieta Tomonica Moro. Thank you, Cheryl. In relation to the rotation and the desire for increased ALS involvement, I welcome the rotation, especially in terms of the Paralo region. One of the comments that have come from the region, bottom up, of course, is that they've had challenges in attending meetings because of the times. Of course, you have exceptions, those who perhaps are motivated to actually attend, and that sort of thing. But quite aside from that, I'd also like to add, it's critical if we're also wanting increased ALS involvement to also address the capacity building element in relation to policy immersion, quite aside, and also the challenges of understanding rules and procedures for those who may not necessarily speak English and that sort of thing. But of course, that's for another session, but I just thought I'd make that brief comment and interjection, Cheryl. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Sala. And I think what's important also, and I think, Sergio, those who find challenge with time of day and requirements of employment will benefit from this. One of the reasons that the work is duplicated from List to Wiki is that it is absolutely possible for significant contribution to be made by people on that work group who never attend an actual teleconference, because you can do it via Wiki. That contribution is just as valid as having it recorded for the transcript. So there is no first or second class input. All input is equal. Therefore, if someone can only operate at 4 a.m. their time, and we never happen to have a meeting that fits in at 4 a.m. their time, they can interact with us through mailing list and through Wiki. And if it happens on the mailing list, it gets duplicated to the Wiki. The Wiki is the archive. Okay? So we have no good reason for lack of participation, because on the Wiki, you can write it in whatever language you like. Okay?
Thank you, Cheryl. I really appreciate that pointing out the fact that the Wiki is always available and you don't have to be on the call to participate. Time is on us, so we have to move to the next working group. And we have a Registrants' Rights and Responsibilities group, and my friend Bo Brendler is on hand for that. Bro, you have the floor.
Thank you, Carlton. Bo Brendler from North America. As you have probably seen, perhaps from some emails and material I've been posting to the chat, the Registrants' Rights Working Group is underway. And briefly, to just sort of say the evolution of that, this particular group, I think it's important to point out, is not chartered in the same way that the last one was. The last one was an effort that the GNSO wanted to try to come up with some means to modify the RAA in 2009. In other words, update the actual document with material and statements that had already been agreed to, and the scope of that particular working group was much more limited than I think many of us thought. However, we have no such limits in this group. So those of you who have seen the communications I've sent out this morning, we are lucky enough to have access, we're lucky enough to have access to the versions of the, they're in multiple languages, versions of the RAA that's been translated into layman's terms. So it's not such a heavy lift in terms of a legal document. It's been translated into five languages, I'm told, which is terrific. And, you know, if there was one good thing that previous RAA group did, it was that, among a few other things. But we have a version of the RAA that we can read, that we can share with other people. And then also, you'll notice, and this is for anybody who's interested in the working group or just interested in the RAA, there is a link that I posted to the current progress on the RAA current negotiations, which is a particularly interesting movement on the RAA because there's a lot of input from the law enforcement community. And then finally, at another document that we're going to be reviewing is the current guidance document for registrars that... someone's familiar with the current guidance document. I'm so happy to hear that. It's 10 years old. It pertains to how the registrar should basically interpret the language on who is data, which, of course, has been a particular arena of concern. Our colleague Garth Bruin has done a lot of research related to how registrars are and are not obeying the letter of the agreement, contract agreement on that. So we have a lot of homework to do. We will be getting together with the members of the working group shortly after Costa Rica to set up some more sort of traditional structure. That is, you know, having conference calls and whatnot. So we invite anyone who would like to join us. We can use some legal help, those of you who are attorneys. If you just Skype me your name, you know, in the Skype chat, I will see to it that you get added to the mailing list. And my wish for this group is to really have a document at the end that's more than just an aspirational set of things that we think should happen, but actually concrete recommendations based on a thorough review of the registrar accreditation agreement and backup documents to it that we can use to change the process. So I don't really think there's too much more to say about the group than that. It's fairly straightforward in terms of what it's set out to do, but lastly, I would just say that I would remind you that this is not a circumscribed group with a very limited scope that can be, you know, a lot of times scope, I think, is used to limit discussion among certain types of working groups. So in this case, this is our group. This is what we need to do, and we have the ability to at least get a discussion going and make some solid agreements without interference, shall we say. Thanks.
Thank you, Bo. Question? We have two. We'll first go to Olivier and then to Jean-Jacques. Olivier.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. It's Olivier for the transcript, Olivier Crépin-Ablon. I've noticed that you mentioned you need legal help, Bo, and I cannot help but thinking that having been on several Lac Rallo calls recently, I have noticed that there are a lot of lawyers in Lac Rallo, so I do hope that this invitation will be taken up by the lawyers of Lac Rallo, and I can see them smile already, so thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. Jean-Jacques.
Thank you, Chair. This is Jean-Jacques Subrenat speaking. I had a question to Bo about a fairly wide topic regarding the RAA. I'm struck by the fact that there are two realities or two constraints. One is that most of the registrars, for all it's worth, are located or operated from the United States of America. The other thing is a legal constraint, which is that for the same reason, most of them are operating under California law. And the registration agreement, or the registrar agreement, sorry, is therefore submitted to California law. Now, this will not continue for our lifetimes. I suppose that things are going to move in a certain way. And I'd be interested to know to what extent your group, your working group, can contribute to a reflection on that. What would it take in order to adapt the structure, the framework of the RAAs in order to progressively accommodate other jurisdictions than California law. I think this is a very important issue because we've been talking about the internationalization of ICANN forever. And this is certainly one of the areas where we'll have to move. Otherwise, there will be a very strong temptation to create other systems rather than to enter into this particular type of agreement which has been operating so far.
If I could just briefly respond to that, that's a very interesting point to consider that I had not thought of, and since we're at the beginning of establishing the scope of what the group will look into, Jean-Jacques, I think that's a great recommendation, so we will take it up.
Thank you, Bo and Jean-Jacques, for that question. It really is key. Some of us have been talking about it for a little bit. Evan, you have the floor, sir.
Hi, this is Evan. Maybe my wishes from this group actually go sort of to the high level in the sense that I'm hoping that if this group accomplishes what at least I'm hoping it might, is that this would actually come up with a result that would be embedded into ICANN's DNA in the way that it treats not just the RAA, but everything to do with compliance and every other time that it comes up with policies or procedures, that it bakes in from the very beginning the need to have an appreciation of the bottom of the chain, the bottom of the pyramid. And so it's my hope that that our work in this it goes beyond simply dealing with the RAA and goes to the source of ICANN's approach in its dealing with contracted parties, in its dealing with other groups, that it cannot and should not do that without considering the purchasers of domains and the people below that on the pyramid that don't even have a say in the transaction, that these should be helping to guide ICANN's moving forward with how it makes its relationships.
Our timekeepers signal that we are out of time, but I am giving Sivas just an opportunity. 1 minute, please.
Okay.
Thank you, Sandra, for reminding me.
Yeah, this is Siva Subramanian Muthuswamy for the record. Bo was saying that about the face-to-face meetings, he said if you're a lawyer, you're invited to participate. And why is there so much focus on lawyers when it comes to a topic on rights and responsibilities? And these have to deal with the users, and why not start with what the users really want, rather than start with what the lawyers think, what is feasible and what is workable. So that brings in a lot of limitation, even at the very start, and start with without constraints.
But that's not what I think I heard. But Bo, I think I'll allow you to respond here.
Yes, I hope I did not give the wrong impression that, you know, we want only lawyers for this group. I'm not a lawyer, but you know, my point really in asking for that is I'm not sure that among the community of us who are supposed to represent the user, to represent the bottom of the ICANN food chain, as it's been said, I'm not sure that there's ever been a thorough review and understanding of the legal document that is the RAA. And now that we have it in layman's terms that we can dig into, it would be, I think, critical to have some legal perspective from people who are familiar with contracts, from people who know contract law, to be able to help us to understand if there are any, to understand how to go about suggesting workable amendments to the contract. I know we're short on time, but, if you look at some of the work that Nujan has done, I mean, it's not totally out of the question to say that the RAA and ICANN enforcement of the principles of the contract could very well do a great deal to limit or to affect the amount of fraud on the Internet. So, you know, we need we just need some talent in this group to be able to speak the same language that all of the lawyers and lobbyists who the registrars have to show up at all of the working groups, you know, that we have some language that we can use.
Thank you, Bo. And I just might add that what we were asking for were lawyers from our own community, not from outside the community. We have to move to the next one. Thank you, Sandra. I will keep track better. We now have the Technology Task Force, and Dev Anantila Singh will join us here. Dev, you have the floor.
Thank you, Chair. Dev Anantila Singh here for the transcript record. So the Technology Task Force was recommended by the ALAC At-Large Improvements Project Milestone Report, and it stated explicitly that it was to establish a technology task force of community members that would periodically review the appropriateness of available technology and help train railroads and at-large structures and new technologies introduced and possibly staff a help desk. And there's been other recommendations such as to introduce to the at-large structures selected information, dissemination, communication, and collaboration tools, and provide training. So, participation from at-large and policy discussions, you know, involves daily, if not hourly, use of an increasingly diverse set of tools and technologies over the internet. So, and it's important also for at-large and for the ALSs because ALSs are supposed to be disseminating this information within their own at-large structure and to the general public so that at-large understanding of the tools, the awareness of the tools, and being able to use them effectively is important in order to fulfill that objective. So, as part of that task force project, as part of the task force on the at-large improvements project that Cheryl mentioned earlier, I recently established a wiki space, and the wiki space will contain information and links to the various technologies and the social media tools that at-large uses. And the attempt will be to try to present the use of technology in plain language and try to avoid as much as possible the techno-speak. And this will then make it easier to making that material available in multiple languages. And to reflect the diversity of at-large, highlight where possible the various, platforms, and not just platforms from the desktop, laptop perspective, but, for the mobile market and for the, for example, the recent trend of tablets. And also, in looking at those tools, highlight various add-ons that may be helpful to at-large, such as translation add-ons, for example, for instant messaging. There are translation add-ons that can allow you to, when you chat, it will translate it into a language of your choice. So those type of tools will be highlighted. And on the screen there, you'll see the wiki space. It's sparsely populated due to the intense schedule for planning of LACROLA events. I want to quickly mention that when you hear the word technology, it implies that, well, you only want technology gurus or something like that. That's really not the case. We're also looking for persons that are willing to evaluate the various tools and share the feedback on using those tools. And so we can again get a better understanding of, well, what works and what doesn't work. And also regarding the Technology Task Force, we'll be looking to offer advice when asked by at-large on the various technology options that are possibly available. So we're hoping to start a formal call soon after Costa Rica. And I think that's about it. Thanks.
Thank you, Dev. A question from Sivas.
Siva Subramanian Muthuswamy for record. I'll start with what Cyril's reply to Sala's point a moment ago, which is quite relevant to what the working group is doing at the moment. And she was saying that Wiki is available for participation by anyone that is open irrespective of region, time differences and languages. And so, but the difficulty with the Wiki is that Wiki looks so technically complicated, and there is also a lot of complications with the way we archive previous reports, present working committee reports, and it's very difficult to navigate and find the kind of information that you're looking for, even if you are a part of the process for years. Consider the difficulties for a newcomer, and have you considered recommending to ICANN, not only for at large, but for the whole of ICANN, some kind of an user interface design which makes it easy for a newcomer who is a non-technical newcomer, not the kind of experts that we have in the room, to look at just a page and locate what he wants to locate, maybe a constituency working group or an issue. And that requires quite a lot of expertise in user interface design, and maybe even we can call it the ergonomics of web design. So have you thought about looking at those aspects to improve participation?
In the interest of time, I'm going to ask Matt to respond directly to one of the issues raised by CVAS. Matt, you have the floor, sir.
Hi, this is Matt Ashjani from staff. Just very quickly, actually, on the page that's up, there's the at-large Wiki Confluence guide. So we do have guides available for all users. At this meeting, if you think that you could require additional training, I know there is a meeting being held by Carol Cornell for additional training on the Confluence Wiki. Oh, and also the guide is in multiple languages, excuse me.
Olivier, before I come to you, Sala, I'll come to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just to add on what Matt has written, it's Olivier for the transcript. There is currently a reorganization of the wiki that is ongoing that Matt is only able to do during his spare time. As you might know, he doesn't have that much spare time, so at the moment he's been going very slowly, but as soon as he finds time for a holiday, he'll be doing this during his holiday time. Thank you.
Salat, thank you. Yovi, I'll try to get to you, but I can't promise.
Salinieta Tamani Kawemuro, for the record, first of all, I'd like to congratulate Dev and the Technology Task Force for the most excellent work that they're doing, not easy. And also I'd like to thank Matt for the excellent work that he's been doing, trying to reorganize the wikis. But I think in relation to the matter that Siva brought up, I think there's also a responsibility on the part of the working groups to help the technology task force team to sort of assemble the information together and get it to staff. Take, for example, I'll give you a recent example. There was our idea in workspace when I sort of joined ALAC and that sort of thing. I put together chronology, reassembled the information, and I think given the amount of work that staff have to do, I mean, it's not an easy thing that the duties that they have, but we can certainly make their work easier by assembling the information ourselves. And as Olivia had mentioned, the wiki is under review, so it should be addressed. Thank you.
Thank you, Sala. Yovi.
Thank you very much, Yovi. I just want to add that all the working groups, it's very important that we get in touch with the staff. I think the wiki, they are doing the best, they're improving it. And I want to emphasize on email use. It's very important. So all the working group, we have to be in touch with the staff to see which information we want to get to the members. Because I can be on many websites. I may not necessarily go to the wiki, but email, I'm getting my email at every minute. I'm getting my email. So my call is for the working group to make sure that we send this request to the staff who can help us so that all the most important information, they reach the member by email. That's very important. Thank you.
Thank you. Sandra?
Can I make an announcement, please, because we are running out of time and there is still one agenda item number G, And I would like to make a proposal. The next, after the coffee break, the ICANN Academy, where I am going to be the moderator, and I would be ready to take 5 or 10 minutes away from this session and give it to the agenda item G, if this is okay with the chair and with the moderator.
Thank you, Sandra. That would be most appreciated. Can we move quickly to G? And we are going to have a break here before we go to coffee break. Right? That's it. So, is Avery here? Avery, you're ready to go. Avery, you understand what we're saying here? What we're saying here is that you have half now come back, have the break and come back.
Okay, first I apologize. I didn't know I was G. I knew I was going to talk about the at-large new GTLD working group, and of course that has a G in it. So, so you say I'm starting now, and then you'll stop me, we'll drink coffee, and then I'll come back even more hyper. Cool. Okay. So first of all, thank you. And I also want to thank at-large for sort of trusting me with this working group. It's been a very active working group that has met pretty much every week since it got chartered to try and complete its tasks. You chartered it with three essential tasks. One is basically monitoring and helping where possible with the JASs, the Joint Applicant Support Working Group, ASP, the Applicant Support Program. So we have been doing that, and I'll get back to that in a second. The second thing, and the one that has consumed the most time in the group and the most time of one of its volunteers, Dev, has been creating an objection process because the new GTLD program has made room for at-large and ALAC to make funded objections, and I'll get more into that. And then the third of the ones that we've sort of started, but that still has less of an immediacy, is monitoring the new GTLD application and process rollout, which Cintra has started taking a role in starting to organize for us. When I get back to that, I'll ask her to make a couple comments on it. So getting to the first thing. And by the way, let me know when I'm getting close to my break thing because I have no idea when that is. On the applicant support program, I'd say that our success in that has been moderate in that we have gotten to put together a committee of members who are members of the at-large new GTLD working group, who were also members of the JAS group, who have basically served as sort of a consultation group with the staff who is implementing the application support program and with the board committee that basically set the structure for it. So when they were putting out the original document on how to do it, they consulted with this group, and that went back and forth with the at-large new GTLD working group, or the ANG working group. It's really a mouthful. So that went fairly well. Since then, we've sort of been pushing them on, tell us about the outreach. Tell us about the outreach. We talked to people in the various ALSs. I've talked to the various, even ICANN regional representatives and said, so have you heard about it? Is anybody outreaching to you? And has anybody asked you to outreach to the people you know? And it's sort of, well, we're kind of working on it. So My personal feeling is that outreach has been, to put it politely and at best, limited. You know, there's a lot of other adjectives one could use that would be a lot less polite and a lot less soft-spoken. So that's still a concern. That's still a push. That's almost something that I come to the people in this room about and say, beyond the ANGWG, the At-Large New GTLD Working Group, is for all of you that are involved in the regions, that are involved in ALSs, to be approaching the ICANN staff and such and say, what about what about outreach to my area? What have you done? When can you come? Can somebody send somebody? So, now, at the moment, when we leave this meeting, there are 4 weeks left in the application process. There are 2 weeks left for someone to spend $5,000, and all these applicants have to spend that $5,000 to get a TAS spot, a whatever it is. It's the application system. I forget what it stands. Task applications. Thank you. Task. So to get a membership in that. So there's 2 weeks left to do that, and then after that, there's 2 weeks left to get an application in. Now, with lots of help, and there's a lot of experience out there now writing applications. I know some friends that are actually robo-application writers. They can crank out one in 2 days. So it's not impossible with help to still do it if the outreach happens, but the outreach needs to happen. And all of you, hopefully, are doing outreach to people you know in your communities who would be really good at having a GTLD, have a reason for a community to have a GTLD, and are bringing them in, because it's the only way it's going to happen. To wait for ICANN to do an adequate outreach program is a lot like waiting for Godot. The other thing that we're supposedly working with them on is the SARP criteria, the support application review process. Thank you. I keep losing these words. So that's another thing, that they've got the original top-level instructions, but there was some intent from Jazz, and this group is really largely composed of Jazz, to help them flesh that out more. And I don't know what's happening with that. One keeps pushing. But an interesting tidbit I caught in the GAC meeting yesterday is that the staff reported to GAC that they will be working with Jazz to find the SARP members. That was the first I had heard of that one, but it was a good thing to hear of, so it's something we need to follow up. So that's the ASP. I don't know if you want me to stop on questions on a topic by topic. Okay, so stop for questions on the ASP.
Right. 3 minutes. Tijani.
It is not a question. Ce n'est pas une question. Ça va être plutôt un.
It'll be more a comment that I'll make, not so much a question. It's about outreach, because in spite of everything we've asked, the implementation group, and we've asked them for a new applicant support program as regards outreach, they've done barely anything, almost nothing, in spite of all our initiatives with the ALSs. And we held a meeting in Tunisia as regards GTLDs and support programs for the outreach, and Sintra had done the same in Trinidad and Tobago. But in terms of ICANN and ICANN staff, I see that they are working somewhat, but not where they should be working. And so we do have applicants who need support, but they haven't done anything there. And this is a pity, because we do have a program which will serve to help people who don't need help. See what I mean? Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. Any other comment? Okay, I'm going to cede the floor to Olivier for 1 minute, and then we'll take the break and come back. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Carlton. This is Olivier for the transcript. Just one thing with regards to the ESB and with regards to the SARP people. There are some people actively looking out there. I know that I've been contacted already to be on the SARP, and I've been asked to also ask if any members here would like to be on it. So this is really something that's very important, since it's a follow-up to something we've been very, very supportive of.
You want to go again? Tijani wants a follow-up. Will you allow him? And then we'll take the break. And can we kind of compress the coffee time to about 20 minutes? And we'll come back. Thank you.
Aussi concernant le SARP.
As regards the SARP, this ASP, Applicant Support Program, will be the panel which will take these requests. And so, regarding the ASP, we've also asked for there to be experts other than the community, but this wasn't accepted, and we were told that within the community we do have experts. Still, as a group, as a community group, that is, we have the impression, so we're under the impression that an input from outside the community would be good. We do not need a half and half input, but a combination of outside experts and the community would be a good thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. Can I now invite you to take the coffee break, and we will come back, and then Olivier will sit in the chair afterwards.
Well, actually, I might sit in the chair right now. Just before we break off, thank you very much, Carlton, for chairing this first session. It's been very good, so thank you for excellent chairing. But one thing I did want to add, though, you will have noticed we've spent a significant amount of time reporting from the working groups, and this is all as part of our working smarter, not harder part of what we're trying to do. Being involved in a working group is particularly important, and in fact, it's one outreach tool that we can use with our communities. In fact, the way that I initially joined at large was to get involved in a working group specifically only with IPv6 issues back quite a few years ago, and I think it is a good way to involve new members, bring them to working groups, send them on there. They can do as much or as little work as they want, but at least they will start being involved in one way or other, and they don't need to be aware of everything that takes place and at large, but only of the subjects that they are interested in. So I really hope that you can go back to your communities and ask them to join actively the working groups. And I have noticed some people who don't hold any specific position in ALAC or in the Railor leadership that have taken a very good active part in working groups and that are actually here now as well, because they've also been able to become fellows, etc., to take the active part in there. And now I think we all want to have some coffee because we need to wake up again. Thanks very much, and see you in 20 minutes.